Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
They had the second largest search in the state of Washington that had ever occurred. You feel like finally you're getting the attention that you've wanted this whole time. And you are. That whole day you're on pins and needles because you want them to find something, but yet at the end of the day when they don't, you still have that little bit of hope that, well, we know he's not here. He still could be somewhere else.
In episode 117, you heard the story of 24-year-old Jacob Hilken. Jacob was last seen on January 23, 2018 at 10:20 a.m. in Tulalip, Washington. The police spoke to Jacob while they were doing a homeless sweep of the area. He stated to them that he was trying to catch a bus back home. The previous evening, he had been at his mother's house when a few friends came by to pick him up. Jacob and his friends went to a casino for a few hours, despite the fact that Jacob didn't have much money to gamble. His friend would later state that he left the casino area to catch a bus back home to his mother's house, but no one ever saw Jacob get on a bus. After Jacob allegedly walked away from his friends to leave the casino, he seemed to have faded into the darkness of the night, like a ghost. Since his disappearance, there have been a handful of sightings that match his description, but none of those sightings have ever been confirmed. Over the course of the last several months, there have been a few developments in his case. Jacob's mother, Marnie, has been tirelessly searching for her son, looking for answers as to where he could be. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 137 of The Vanished, part 2 of Jacob Hilken's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. If you haven't listened to part one of Jacob's story yet, I suggest that you go back and listen to that first. And even if it's been a few months since you heard part one, you may want to go listen again as a refresher. But to give you a brief overview, Jake had been living with some friends at the time, but he had recently lost his job and didn't have internet service at home. He went to his mom's house to spend the night and use her internet to look for jobs. That was the evening of January 22, 2018. Later that evening, two friends picked him up and they drove to a casino in Tulalip, Washington. Jake and his one friend ended up spending much of the time in the parking lot because they didn't have much money. This is where, eventually, there was some kind of altercation with another person. Security told Jake and his friend to leave. Jake's friend wanted to remain in the area and wait for their other friend to come out of the casino, but Jake just wanted to go home. Apparently, he walked off saying he was going to catch a bus home. There was a sighting of Jake at a homeless camp that morning. A woman said that she gave him a cigarette and some food, and that Jake had been looking for heroin. After that, the last confirmed sighting of Jake was when the police did a homeless sweep and checked his ID. That was at 10:20 a.m. on January 23rd, 2018. There were sightings of him after that, but none of them have been confirmed. One of Jake's friends who was there that night has been forthcoming, but the other has not. But according to the one who's been helpful, the two went back home that morning assuming that Jake had gotten on a bus. Marnie has spent the months since Jacob's disappearance trying to find answers as to what happened to her son. Volunteers, friends, and family have all searched areas where Jacob might be. After hearing part one and the story from the woman who claimed that she had interacted with Jake prior to the homeless sweep, many of you listening commented that he probably overdosed in the woods since that woman claimed that Jake was looking for heroin. After part one aired and a little over 2 months after Jake disappeared, a large-scale professional search of that area was conducted.
A week before Easter, they had the second largest search in the state of Washington that had ever occurred. The only other search that was larger than this was with the Oso landslide that we had, where 43 people lost their lives. So I remember feeling so hopeful in March to finally have help. And they had SAR, you know, volunteers. So there were 100 volunteers. They had 6 drones. They had 10 dogs, helicopters. They planned for the search. The way that they took care of us that day as a family, the searchers, it was amazing and really hopeful. But to know that they searched 700 acres and, you know, we did bring, unfortunately, a body home that day of another missing loved one. His name was Sean, and he'd been missing for 2 years. And for the volunteers to find the body within 100 yards of where Jake's missing poster sign was is just unnerving. So they started with his last known location, and they had it all mapped out. I can't remember the technical name of the search that they do, but it's basically you start off with a circle in the middle of the map, and you know, it just spirals out larger and larger. And so that's how the teams come together to really make sure that they're covering areas and not double covering others. They even had a person who I guess is world renowned, known for tracking and finding tracks months after people have been missing, and they couldn't find anything on Jake.
For Jake's family, knowing that this large-scale search didn't recover any trace of him makes them fairly confident that he isn't in the area around the casino. But at the same time, finding the remains of someone who had been out there for 2 years does leave a little shred of doubt in their minds.
But I go back and forth because in my mind this whole time, you know, I went to the very clinical part, and this is horrible to say, but these are the things that go through your mind. You think, if there is a body that is decomposing, it is going to be so obvious that they would be found. Yet how did this other kid's body lay there for 2 years and not be found? I mean, there's trails and walking paths all around this area. So in that essence, you know, I kind of went, well, what if they missed him? But, you know, in my heart, I truly believe that he got into a vehicle with somebody that he shouldn't have. It's the only thing in my mind that makes sense of why they wouldn't find anything in that area, clothing or any signs.
On March 25th, 2018, while searching for Jacob, the remains of Sean Bond were located on the Tulalip Reservation. This was not far from where Jacob had gone missing. At the time of Sean's disappearance, he was struggling with both mental health issues and drug addiction, both of which were not currently being treated. His cause of death was ruled as undetermined. Despite the fact that no trace of Jacob was found during this search, Marnie was grateful that she was able to give someone else answers in regards to a missing loved one. Sean's mother reached out to Marnie.
It gave me hope to know that I was doing something at least for someone else. You know, for her to reach out and say thank you for bringing my son's body home. You know, in her mind, she felt like because I wasn't giving up and, you know, asking for help, that's what led her son to be able to, you know, be laid to rest. Which I would love that gift.
Since Jake's family was on scene when Sean's remains were found, the searchers came to warn them.
They came to me right away and said, look, you're going to start hearing people talking. You're going to see a lot of activity. But I want you to know right now, we know it's not Jake. So they said that to me right away. And they could tell that because of the length of time that the body had been there, which they'd stated quite some time. And then they were able to verify with me after, of course, the family was notified that he had been there for 2 years. Yeah, so I mean, being there, you know, they have a trailer set up for you and you feel like finally you're getting the attention that you've wanted this whole time. And you are, that whole day you're on pins and needles because you want them to find something, but yet at the end of the day when they don't, you still have that little bit of hope that, well, we know he's not here. He still could be somewhere else.
Soon after the search, Marnie received a message from her bank notifying her that there was fraudulent activity on her bank account.
It was on a Friday morning, and I hadn't quite made it out of bed yet and was checking my phone, my email, and I had received a message from my bank that there had been fraudulent activity on my account. And so they need me to contact the fraud department. I called in. They asked me all these security questions, which of course I know what the answers are, but I couldn't pass any of them. They said, no, I'm sorry, those are not the answers. We need you to come into one of the branches as soon as it opens. I tried to get them to give me more information. They said, I'm sorry, we really can't give you any information at this time. You just need to come into the branch. So I hung up the phone knowing I had a couple of hours to kill because, you know, it was still early in the morning. And almost immediately, the bank called me back and said, you know, I'm sorry, we couldn't share more information with you. We needed to make sure this was really you. We can tell you a little bit more about what happened. Somebody with a very deep, distinctive male voice tried to access your account last night, and they were online. They knew your social security number. They knew your address. They knew all your passcodes, all of your security codes, and we had placed a phone call because the activity didn't look correct. And to know that that was a male on the phone and we know that you're female is why we shut it down. And I was just thinking, you know, this is the last thing I have time for. And I actually said it out loud to this lady. I kind of feel bad because I know she's just doing her job. And I said, this is the last thing I have time for. My son Jacob went missing, you know, like 2 months ago. And this is the last thing I have time to mess with. And she said, I'm sorry, what's your son's name? And I said, Jacob Hilken. And she said, I need you to go to the police immediately after you visit us at the bank and we'll give you the report. We can share all the information with the police. All they have to do is ask us, but we really need you to do that. And I said, okay, can you tell me more? And she said, I'll tell you that the person who called to change all your bank account information tried to set up a transfer into a name of Jacob Hilken. So somebody tried to break into my account and do a transfer to my son's name. And, you know, your first gut instinct is to go, oh my God, my son is still out there. Or you think somebody robbed him and has his information. And there's so many parts of that that don't even make sense. You know, I was able to go to the bank, get information, went to the police department, and this is the most astonishing part of it. When I went to the police department and explained to them, my son is a missing person, but here I also have this, you know, fraud potential activity on my account, they would not tie the two together. They said, I'm sorry, the homicide department will not be handling anything on your fraud. And since I didn't actually have a loss, I'm not sure how much activity your police report for your fraud case will even get. And it was like I just wanted to poke myself in the eye going, my God, how can you not see that is tied together? They do have a recording of it. They said they can't turn it over to me, but with a subpoena, and I swear this is the word I've heard over and over and over for the past 7 months. Anything can happen with a subpoena. And the bank was just telling me, we'll absolutely turn over everything. All we need is the subpoena. That I haven't been able to get any traction on with the police. And I feel like there's just keeps being these little things that are put together that to me look so obvious. And I don't know, maybe to the police, I just look crazy.
After the fraudulent bank activity, something else happened. Something that Marnie is unsure whether or not it's connected.
A few weeks after the banking incident, I got a phone call on, or excuse me, a messenger message on Facebook from another mother who happens to have a daughter who's missing. And it's one of the most horrible things about going through this. All of a sudden, you connect with other people who have missing loved ones and realize how many are out there, and it's unreal. But at any rate, she had contacted me and said, "Have you been contacted by somebody saying that Jacob is being held against his will?" And ironically, a couple of days before that, I had. And I said, "Yes." And she asked me to call her right away. I called her. Come to find out, there is a ring of people out there that are preying on families of missing loved ones. And they write messages in contacting the family saying that the missing loved one is being held against their will, that they're being sold into sex trafficking. And, you know, they send you these images and these messages that look like they're like the old DOS computer days. I guess they refer to it as the dark web. And it's horrible, the things that this person is saying, going back and forth and trying to manipulate you. And I caught on pretty quickly that it had to have been a scam, but there was even a part of me that wanted to believe. And, you know, this person tries to get you to send money so you can buy your loved one back without the person who is supposedly selling them knowing that you're the relative. And so then everybody's safe and nobody will be killed. But I mean, they go into the level of detail of really preying on you as a victim and saying, "I'm watching your loved one being, you know, sexually abused and tortured, and please reply. Every minute that you wait, your loved one is being tortured, and I don't know if they're even going to live beyond this." And it's just, it's horrible, the things that happen. But what we did find out about that, because the authorities did get involved, is that this was a group of people that apparently were out of Russia and Africa. And they had boots on the ground, people in the United States coming to get the money that was being, you know, exchanged for the missing loved ones. I know it's a stretch, but they're males with very distinctive voices. And so you just wonder, like, how much of this is tied together to, did somebody rob my son and have his information? And if they did, why on earth would they try and just break into my bank account and use his information to try and transfer money to? That makes no sense when he has money in both of his accounts that they could have taken. So, you know, there's so many pieces of it that just don't make sense. And I keep trying to make sense of them.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. The pain a person feels when a loved one goes missing is bad enough. To see that pain and try to take advantage of those desperate to get their loved ones back, there are no words in the dictionary to properly articulate how awful that type of individual is. Luckily, Marnie didn't fall for the trap and the bank caught the activity in time. Regardless of those despicable acts attempted by those scammers, Marnie never lost her focus. Her motivation to find Jacob cannot be derailed.
So the other sort of strange thing that, you know, has pulled me in two different directions again, and I feel like that is how I live every part of my day. You know, one half of it is being so certain that there's still something else I could do, and the other half is I feel like I just don't know what else to do. I've done so much. But I don't know if you recall from the first time that we chatted that the first person that my son had apparently encountered were two homeless people in the encampment, and one of the girls' names was Lillian. Well, so I've kept in touch with her because we were able to locate her on Facebook and use Messenger to try and contact her. And, you know, it just has never settled well with me. You know, the fact that she said that Jacob was looking for Brown when he went back there, and since this time, I've had numerous amounts of Jacob's friends say to me, he was still playing around with other drugs, but we want you to know he absolutely was not doing heroin. They're like, we want you to know that. And so that doesn't jive with me that, you know, this Lillian gal says that that's what Jake was looking for. And so I keep trying to reach out to her. And this was in April. I had said, you know, I don't know if you remember me, Lillian, but I'm Jacob's mom. You said you saw him that day in the woods. And I just, you know, would you be willing to please contact the detective, give him any information, or even just talk with him? There might be a small detail of something that you remember. And I said, you know, maybe you've seen him, maybe you've heard something. And her reply is what just stopped me in my tracks, because she said, honestly, yes, I do remember you, but I haven't seen him since that day in the woods. But I've heard from others he's okay. And you think, okay, why would she say that unless she knew, or unless she was trying to cover something up for someone? I just keep going back to I feel like she knows more. And I replied back and I said, I'm begging you, can you just tell me how you know he's alive? You know, if for some reason he really wants to not be found, which again, I know that's just crazy. That's just not my son. But, you know, here I am trying to leverage any kind of angle I can with anyone that has seen my son or knew him. And her reply to say that I've heard from others that he's okay, there just wouldn't be any reason to lie like that. She doesn't know me well enough to want to comfort me. So to make this lie up to just for comfort doesn't make any sense. So then I think, you know, her boyfriend is a known heroin addict and not a good guy. And I, you know, I wonder, is she trying to protect him? And now she won't reply to me at all in messages anymore. So I think that's even more telling, you know.
Marnie reached out to law enforcement with the information that this woman, Lillian, provided, but it appears that they haven't followed up on it.
To my knowledge, they say that they can't locate her. And I understand, again, they just don't have the resources to, you know, aimlessly walk around looking for people. But I also know that they have very structured homeless encampment checks that happen, and people's names are registered and IDs are checked. And she's out there and around. She's in the area. And she has quite a few people that she's connected to on Facebook. But to my knowledge, they still haven't been contacted. Nor has the one kid, Robbie, who refused to talk. And then Tyshawn, he has talked to the police once, but hasn't been contacted again. He still texts me every once in a while, or he'll post something on Jake's Facebook page. But, you know, still to know why his friend won't come forward and talk. There are just still these pieces that don't make sense.
When a loved one goes missing, the desperation to find answers can lead you to many places, some of which not everyone can understand. You can only talk to law enforcement officials so much, or walk trails looking for a clue. Sometimes you need more. That what if can often lead even skeptics to see if psychics hold the answer, or if they could just give them one little clue that could lead to a new avenue to pursue. As a skeptic myself, I always worry about families being taken advantage of or given false hope. But at the same time, I can understand why, for someone in Marnie's shoes, why she's willing to listen to anyone who's offering to help.
I've been to 4 different psychics. There's definitely a theme that's coming up that's very, very familiar, and one that my heart feels like is right. You know, because my son just wouldn't do this to me. And if he could come home, he would come home. There's been times I've been posting out on Facebook to ask for help of people who want to hike and look in areas. But a lot of times they'll ask me, well, where do you want to look? Well, now I'm sort of lost with that. Since we've searched 700 acres, where do you start? And the information that I've been given from psychics, you know, it will say either west, or it'll say on Highway 9, or I've heard Mount Vernon or Monroe. And those are all areas that if Jacob would have gotten into a car, he would have had to have traveled and either gone straight across, which would have taken him to Monroe, or if the person would have driven north, which then Jacob would have known instantly he was in trouble, because that's not the direction to go home, is that would have been towards Mount Vernon. And they say that Jacob's laying face down off of a trail, and that there's debris on him, but he's not been buried. And he's shown him a hole in his side. And 3 weeks after Jake went missing, I did have a dream. And in the dream, he came to me, and I was trying not to freak out about him being missing because I didn't want to scare him in my dream. And we're just sitting there having a conversation, and he lifts up his shirt and shows me this hole in his side. And I just remember it was just so real. And, you know, the other stuff the psychics have said is that he'll be found by August. And even when I asked if I could share additional information with you, and we had this date for August, you know, to talk again, I'd wondered if Jake would have been found by then. You know, I'm going to go out later again today and go hiking. And, you know, that's what you do on the weekends. You still go post flyers. You still use social media. You still go try and hike and look for things. But it does get really difficult at this point. Because you just think, am I just doing this all in vain? Is this just, I'm doing something to make myself feel better versus doing nothing? But is it really helping? I've been so thankful for quite a few of the things that I found of Jake's. Like his necklace that I was positive he was wearing that day. It's an amethyst that my mom bought him
the stone because he's into crystals and he loves that. I had found it in his stuff when I packed up his house and moved all his belongings back to his bedroom. And so I wear that. But I'm just ready for my son to be home.
Jacob's disappearance has motivated Marnie to look into the future. She's seen things that happened with Jacob's case that she wants to prevent happening to other families in the future. They've never been able to get the ping information from Jacob's phone. Due to privacy laws, if there's no evidence of a crime, they simply can't access that information. This legal barrier can prove to be a difficult one to overcome.
I'm still fighting to get the cell phone pinged for all this time because they still can't prove that a crime has occurred. And it's ridiculous. It's my phone. It's my phone number. I pay the bill. How on earth can this, be an issue? It just, to me, it's so ridiculous. And they say for privacy laws, but I think about all the contracts that you renew with your phone each year when you sign up for your service and the whatever 50-page contract, you'd think that there could be a box in there somewhere that would just say, should I ever go missing and be registered with the missing persons, for my local state, I give, authority to have my phone pinged and, no legal repercussions from that. You would waive those rights. I feel like I don't have enough of the resources that I need to make the change, but I'm going to find them. Once my son's case is settled, I want to be somebody who makes changes in laws that help people with missing loved ones, because it's just, there's simple things that I think should happen or take place legally that aren't, and they seem very reasonable to me. And, you think about it, if you are under 18 or if you're elderly, the resources that are available immediately are tenfold compared to if you just have an adult that apparently is just walked off, from a police point of view. And of course, because Jake's phone is on my account, I can see that there's no outgoing messages. There's no data being used. There's people sending messages to him. I've been able to track all those phone numbers, look up most of their names, and I send that to the police to say, here's his phone list, here's who was contacting him all these days before he went missing. They have me call his phone and text it once a day asking for my phone to be returned. And they said that they're going to use that as part of to take to the judge with the subpoena. But I've been doing this for months now. I don't know. At first it was, create this, for a week, these messages, so then we can take it to the judge to get the subpoena. And then it was, we're just so busy, we can't do anything with that information, but, keep placing the phone calls. And then I follow up again, and he said, if we don't have any other murders happen this week, we should be able to go to the judge for the subpoena. That's been 2 weeks. The detective is very nice when he writes me emails back, and he's polite. And I think he does feel bad that he hasn't been able to give this any kind of real attention because of all the actual homicides that are going on. But I just get the indication from the messages that they're so busy and they don't know where to start either. They are having so many bodies dropped in their lap that those cases are keeping them so busy, they don't even have time to do anything else. That's sad. There's so many young people's lives that are just being wasted right now. It is. It's horrible up here.
It would be easy for a person in Marnie's shoes to succumb to the sadness of having a missing child, but the kindness and love that other people have shown her and her son has given her hope.
I'm still amazed at, people's kindness. I need to find somebody that can navigate the legal system really strongly with me and figure out a way around the subpoena with the phone. That's my mission. I firmly believe that is going to help me find my son.
So what happened to Jacob Hilken on January 23rd, 2018, after he was spoken to by the police during that homeless sweep? There's been nothing solid pointing in one direction or another. Most cases, if someone is met with foul play, it's someone they know. But what if Jake did get a ride with a random stranger? Could that be why his case has been so hard to crack? And what about that bank fraud? That person who was trying to transfer money from Marnie's account to Jacob? She's wondered if it could be connected to those other scammers. While that's possible, I'll tell you that other families that I've worked with were targeted by that dark web scam too. But no one else that I spoke to had anyone try to get into their bank account. Was this just an unrelated scam, or could it be connected to Jake's disappearance? I think it would be nice to be able to rule this out. It would give Marnie some peace of mind, but the police don't seem interested in trying to pursue that lead. And what about Lillian saying she knows that Jacob's okay? What's that about? Why would someone just say that? If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Jacob Hilken, please call the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office at 425-388-3845. If you'd like to contact his family, you can reach them on Facebook at Find Jacob Hilken. There's currently a $5,000 reward available in his case. Jacob is described as 5 foot 11 inches tall, weighing about 160 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. One identifying feature is that Jacob is always known to wear his glasses. That brings us to the end of episode 137. I'd like to thank Marnie for taking the time to speak with me again.
Time is definitely your enemy when you have a missing loved one. You can't stand it when time goes by that quick. It's just validation of them not being there, you know. And that's the thing. Somebody does know. And that's what keeps you motivated to keep going, because it is only going to take one person. You know, one of my friends who lives across the country happened to be traveling in middle America in a bar, and this couple had been traveling from Seattle, and they were sitting in that bar, and he overheard them talking about Jacob's case, and he walked up to him and made sure to say, "Hey, I'm a friend of Marnie's and Jacob's, and thank you so much for talking about this. Will you continue to share the post?" The thing that keeps running through my mind, which is so silly, but every year for Christmas, I would give Jacob a Hot Wheel. You know, even as a 24-year-old male, I was still giving him, you know, Hot Wheels for Christmas. Except for this last Christmas, I didn't do it. First time ever. And it's silly little things like that you think, oh, maybe if I would have given him the Hot Wheel, that would have changed something else that caused this other chain reaction, you know, where a path would look different today. You know, just to know that people still care about Jake and his story mean a lot to me.
If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy the show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes mentioned in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a quick survey at wondery.com/survey. Thanks for listening.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.